the United Nations recently convened to consider the effects of the United States' embargo on Cuba, specifically regarding the role the blockade plays in creating the widespread power blackout currently plaguing the island. The meeting moved forward Tuesday despite protests from America's representatives. The conversation was heated as U.S. Representative Jeffrey Bartos described the discussion as a, quote, wasteful use of $84,000 of U.N. funds, end quote. Bartos then called for a vote on whether to proceed, which passed with 136 votes in favor and 9 against. Cuba produces only 40% of its fuel needs, leading the country to rely heavily on imports to function. Since the start of the year, the Trump administration has been increasing pressure on Cuba's socialist government to implement economic and political reforms, which comes after the U.S. abducted Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro and took over the country's oil production. The change has forced the Cuban government to enact emergency measures to alleviate fuel shortages during what experts say is the island's worst economic and energy crisis in decades. To further apply pressure, Trump has also threatened other countries who help Cuba with high tariffs on goods. But Cuba's UN representative, Bruno Rodriguez Paria, speaking through an interpreter, says this blockade and subsequent blackout is not just affecting the Cuban government, but is creating a humanitarian crisis impacting all of its citizens, citing a lack of water, shortage of medication, and increased infant mortality rate as evidence.
The trend coincides with the toughest moments of the U.S. siege. The blockade asphyxiates and kills silently. The U.S. government, and in particular its State Department, is spreading the lie that the blockade is not aimed against the Cuban people, but only against the government. Well, ask the people of Cuba whether or not they are suffering because of the blockade.
U.S. Ambassador Mike Waltz disagrees. He maintains that the blockade is the Cuban government's doing.
Conveniently, there always seems to be enough power for the regime, including, apparently, enough to type up today's remarks, blaming America once again, year after year, for the crisis they have created.
While America has been firm on its standing, last night's meeting saw member states overwhelmingly in support of urging the U.S. to end the embargo. Issa Kanfuru of Mali voiced his concerns for Cuba and also noted the extra burden a continued embargo may have on other countries in the global south who do business with the island nation.
No difference between two states can justify the collective punishment of entire people. Still less any measure that places the life and well-being of its population in jeopardy.
As for the residents of Cuba, many are reporting feeling powerless and in pain in their current situation. Aristides Trista, a cancer patient who has spent the past 7 months without a necessary CT scan to see if her tumor has grown, speaks to the fear she has for her life.
It's a very difficult decision. It's so hard to be in this country, where there are no resources. There is no way. Every time you go to the doctor, they say, there's nothing we can do. There's no treatment. There's no way to get the tumor out of you. It's really hard.
Cuba says it continues its attempt to mitigate the situation, rationing power with strategic outages, which last more than 24 hours. At the same time, the people of Cuba try to manage what is quickly becoming the fourth consecutive day of a dark situation. For KPFA, I'm YouthWorks intern Amina Gordon.